On behalf of the Voice for Christ family, thank you for your purchase of these materials. If you have any questions, you may contact us by mail at P.O. Box 394, Rushville, Indiana, 46173. Or you can visit our website at voiceforchristchurch.com.
Judges, where do we leave off? Sixth chapter. Amen. Well, glory to God. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We left off, Gideon. Gideon has he's made his offering unto the Lord, an extreme offering. It's an offering you don't see too often in the scripture. It's more than a sacrifice. It's life itself almost. It's 22 pounds of bread and a goat, and he lays it upon a rock. The Lord is with him there, and he brings it to the Lord. Unlike Abraham, when he brought an offering to the Lord ate Abraham's offering. But he told Gideon to lay his offering upon a rock. And when he laid his offering upon the rock, he touches it with his staff, and the rock caught on fire, and the fire went upward and consumed it, and the Lord also went up in the fire. Now, in verse 22, and when that happened, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said at last, "Oh my God, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He said that he was the Lord for the very first time, very specifically. Now, the Old Testament says that if anybody sees God's face, they die. Well, nobody has ever, 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 ever seen God's face. God veils himself when he reveals himself in some way. Nobody has ever seen him completely as God. You will when you get to heaven. So he believes. Gideon now is scared to death again. Now this is the second time he's scared. And now he's scared and he says, "I'm going to die." Verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there, and the Lord called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is there in Ephrah of the Abiezerites. I think I said that right. Now that's Gideon's family. That's his personal family. And his family is rather large, evidently. But he is the youngest one in the family. And in verse 24, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and the Lord, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. Now, when the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace be unto you, fear not," it's more than a wish. It's a prophetic statement. It's a prophetic utterance. So the Lord himself is prophesizing over Gideon and putting a word in Gideon that he can stand on. You're not going to die. And when you go into battle for me, you're not going to die, and I'm going to give you peace in the battle. And then Gideon built that altar and called it Jehovah Shalom. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father have that your father has, and cut down the grove that is by it." So who's dad worshiping? Uh-huh. Now, dad may, this is on Gideon's land. Dad's the head of the family there, and the land where the altar is on Joash, Gideon's father. That's on his ground. So now let's say maybe he is making a concession. Maybe he's trying to walk the middle of a road here maybe he does love God, and also he worships Baal. Many of the Jews did that at this time. The Jews are in 7 years, this is their seventh year of bondage. They have seven nations that come in, they're Bedouins, and they march into the valley of Jezreel. And when they get there, they pillage everything they see, and they take children, and they leave these folks with nothing. And while they're there in the valley enjoying all the produce and all the animals that they had that they harvested and had that year, they knew when their harvest was. They run up into the mountains and in the holes and in the hills, and they're hiding up there. And so they're watching over it. Verse 26, he built that altar, and the Lord God, and the Lord thy God upon top of this rock, and built an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. In the ordered place, and take the second bullock, notice there's two now, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut. Cut down. Now he offers up his dad's bullock. And that in itself is a crime. But he offers up a second bullock. Now it's been 7 years of tribulation. It's been seven nations that persecute them. And they have a 7 year celebration with Baal. And they're going to offer up a bullock that's been fattened for 7 years. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, dad and all his brothers and all his sisters and all of them. Gideon feared dad and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day. He also feared the men of the city, because it was the men of the city. It was the city's bullock, the second bullock. Didn't belong to dad. It was the city's second, it was their bullock. They're getting ready to have a great big worship service there. And they wake up the next day and it's all gone. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cast down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, have done this thing. And then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he have cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash, Gideon's dead, Joash comes and says unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save Baal? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning, if he be a god. But first, you don't know that he's God, is his point. Well, let him plead for himself, because one have cast down his altar. Because one man has come in and cast down Gideon. One man came in and cast down the altar of Baal. Dad says, if he's really God. Now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's getting behind his son here. And he comes out and he stands up for him. And he said, listen, do you need Baal to fight your battle? If he is a god, do you need to defend your own god? Do you have to take up for your own god? Is that what you have to do? If he's really a god, go to bed. And when you get up, his altar is rebuilt. Then you know that Baal's a god, and then you can kill my son. But the altar was still destroyed on that morning. Verse 32. thereof. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. The word Jerubbaal, they changed Gideon's name now. They're impressed with Gideon. They're giving him some honor, and they change his name, and they say, your name now is the devil fighter. That's what it means. They say, you're a devil fighter. And now, since Baal can't whip you, you're the devil fighter, and you're going to whip Baal. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of these, and they gathered all around, and they pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit, now here, listen. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer, that's his family, was gathered. The family, when the Spirit of God came upon Gideon, the youngest of this family. And when they seen that he had successfully destroyed a religion that had kept them bound, a cult that had kept them bound for 7 years, they now shouted with them, Gideon, he's a devil fighter. Oh, hallelujah. How'd you like to have that tag? Now here they come, and now the whole family comes out, and Gideon's there, and now the Holy Ghost has come on him, hallelujah. And when the Spirit of God comes upon them, the family says, and they recognize that there's something different about Gideon, and now Dad is ready. And he leads the way, and here comes every brother and every sister, the whole family, and they're saying, Gideon, we got your back. Now, you know that encouraged Gideon? Because in the beginning here, they had their doubts that he was even called. And he wasn't called until the Holy Ghost came upon him. And there he stood. And he blew a trumpet, and Gideon said unto God, and he blew a trumpet, the Spirit came upon him, and he blew a trumpet, and all the tribes of Israel began to line up around the ridges of the valley of Jezreel on the mountainside. And Gideon needed a fleece again. And you know the fleece, wool on the desert floor. If the dew's on the fleece and not on the desert floor, you're on my side. If it's the next time he fleeces God again, just the opposite. Amen. Turn with me to Acts 2. Acts the second chapter. You cannot do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Acts the second chapter. And when the day of Pentecost, let's read it together, first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On the morning of the day of the Pentecost, the house where the disciples are sitting, they're waiting, they're praying. Jesus said, when I get to the Father, I'll send you another comforter. And he will be with you, one just like me, and you'll do greater things than I've done. And I will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and power. And they're sitting there, this 120. This is the very first church service ever held after the resurrection. This is the first church service that the Spirit of God invaded. Oh my. Now what happened there has been duplicated over and over for over 2,000 years. Christ prayed to the Father and he has sent the Holy Spirit, and I say to you that he's here. How many can remember the time you was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Anybody? Wasn't it a phenomenal experience? It still is. It still is. And they're sitting there, and the Bible said that suddenly, now there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. That word means that suddenly there was a outburst. Gale of wind. It was a wind that came out of nowhere. As a matter of fact, it came out of nowhere on this earth. Ah, better read that again. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Where'd it come from? Heaven. If it came from heaven, and this they knew that it came from heaven, this wind had no earthly origin whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the wind didn't come from the outside in. It was an outburst within that upper room. All of a sudden, they're sitting there, and there's this blast of gale of wind that just sweeps the whole place. And they've been in a wind before. And they recognized this as special. They said, this wind is something else. This wind is from heaven. Now, I believe, and people's got all kinds of ideas, that's all right, but I believe that they were the only ones that felt this wind. If it came from heaven, and it came suddenly, and it didn't come from the earth, and they're in an upper room, then that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was only meant for his church at that time. That wind was not felt anywhere outside the church. And I know some say that all of Israel heard the wind blow, so they begin to come to the upper room. I don't even believe they heard it. It's pointless to ask any questions about a wind, which is the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's pointless to ask. It is from heaven, and it's unexplainable. What we know is that it is the Holy Spirit. The wind is the Holy Spirit. And we know this. It is a manifestation from heaven. And we know this. That it is God, the Holy Ghost. We know that it's part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, I just heard this the other day, it just blessed me. Do you know that there is a man in the Godhead? Yes. Jesus. Pinch yourself, you're still flesh, aren't you? Well, this man is not flesh. He's glorified now. But this man is Jesus. Amen. And he is in the God. He is part of the God. You see that? He's in the Godhead. And you're in him. Hallelujah. And he's making intercession for you and for all of us right this very moment. They can't explain this stuff. They felt it. How many felt it when it came? How many heard it when it came? You felt it, you heard it, and in some way you seen it. Really? But you still can't explain it. Scholars have tried their best to translate what has happened to us. Translate what's happened to us to something they don't even believe in. I went to a seminary that taught, they taught us that it wasn't, and they didn't even believe in it. How do they know? They have written books on, they have all kinds of translations of Bibles. You can buy some Bibles where it's literally taken out. They do their best. They want to accept it. Let me tell you, I'm going to give them a plug here. They do their best. They want to accept it. And they're trying. Couldn't you just leave out that stuff? That's what they want. So if they can translate it in a way that you and I could accept it, then it would be gone, and we'd all have it just the way they want it. I ain't giving. Look at your neighbor, and I say, look at your neighbor, I think you're a devil fighter. Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Who's not giving it up? Why? Why do they work so hard? Why do people work so hard? Why do people not accept this? It's in the Bible. It's for us. It's for you and your children's children, as far off as the Lord God shall call. Jesus said he was sending it. Why do they work so hard? Why can't they just forget it? Let me tell you. If the church would have kept it in the upper room, oh, you got to get this. If they would have kept it to themselves, but they didn't. They went down into the street with it. Somebody shout amen. If it had stayed up there and mind their own business and talking tongues, that'd been all right. But as soon as they left that upper room and walked down out into the street where the nations were gathered speaking in other tongues, it was all over but to shout. My Uncle Dave's walking down the aisle in General Motors. He'd been witnessing about, he's trying to get his Baptist buddy all baptized in the Holy Ghost. He ain't buying it. And he's trying to get my Uncle Dave to doubt what he has received. And I'll never forget this, walking there. And finally, my Uncle Dave stopped right in the middle of the aisle and said, "Listen, buddy, I can't doubt it." And God looked at him and said, "Why not?" He said, "You're 20 years too late. I'm speaking in tongues for 20 years now. I think you ought to give up." Let me tell you something. There is no place in this holy word where the manifestation of the Holy Ghost shows up. There's nowhere in this Bible where the Spirit of God shows up that there's not some kind of an experience. There's nowhere in the word, there's nowhere in your life. How many's ever had the Spirit of God? How many's felt it once in a while? How many's felt that wind blow upon you? And speaking in tongues changes you. It puts you on a level higher in your faith, because that puts you on a level of supernatural ability. Hallelujah. And you feel the fire burning. There's a little fire burning. Every time he makes himself known to you, there is a manifestation, supernatural manifestation that comes to your life. There's nowhere in this Bible where the Holy Spirit ever showed up that there wasn't something that happened. And usually, hallelujah, and usually it's a disturbance. You didn't get that. Usually it's abnormal. Somebody help me preach this morning, will you? Usually it's a disruptor. Because they're not walking where you're walking. And it's not helping them at all at that point to sign up for the whole deal. There's always a struggle. There's always a struggle. Ooh, I wrote this. The Lord gave me this morning. There's always a struggle with the old, worn out wineskins of humanity. You didn't get that, did you? They can't contain it. There's always a struggle with the old, worn out wineskins of humanity. They cannot contain it. And they're not going to get it, because if they get it in their old wineskin, it'll just burst anyway. The Lord can't put it in old humanity. There's one thing you got to be. You got to be saved, or you can't have it. You must be born again. Amen. There's a flood of strange experiences that will happen to you if you walk in this anointing. John 3, 7 and 8, real quick. I don't know about you, but I want more. I'd like to see the abnormal, wouldn't you? How many would not be upset if the Holy Spirit would just disturb this whole church? How many would not be upset if he drew the line in the sand? And everything around us turned upside down and was abnormal. And hear this. Would you still be okay if you couldn't explain what was going on? Because when it happens, you really can't explain it. He's still trying to get a hold of some of this, I think. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Wow. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. That the wind, the Spirit of God blows wherever he wants to. He goes wherever he wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice something here. The word sound, somewhere in your Bible, right voice. Right voice. The Holy Spirit, where it goes, and thou hearest the voice of the Holy Spirit. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The sound of the wind is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Does he challenge you in any way to do something that's they may lock you up for. Does he ever ask you to do anything wild? He's not going to ask you to do something normal. Have you been here this morning? He's not going to ask you to do something normal. He can get any normal person out in the street to do that. You see, he's got his spirit in you.
Yes.
And he wants to speak, the voice of the spirit wants to speak to you. Yes. Forget normal.
Supernatural.
That's why we was persecuted for the first 50 years or so. That's why they threw rocks through the windows at my grandfather when he was preaching this stuff. People don't understand it. Could you explain that? No. We can't explain it. Now let me help you out. Let me help you out. I don't know if I ought to get some. Anybody here don't mind looking foolish? You know? Come on up here if you don't. Come on up here if you don't. Come on up here if you don't mind. Come on. You didn't know I was going to call you up here, did you? Make a line up here behind me. Come on, Joanna. That's good now. That's good. Come on up here. You bunch of abnormal people. And I got bad news for you. I got good news for you. There's not a pill that can help you. You are one that is critical. Your smile lights up too much of this room. And your light in your face, oh my goodness, you devil fighter, you. You're marked. The devil won't like you, see. Ruth, everybody knows this. Ruth, you're not normal, honey. Let's see if the voice of the Holy Spirit. Has the voice of the Holy Spirit ever said this to you? Or done this to you? How many has surrendered completely? Amen. Come up here a little more. He's sitting and he's standing in church. And all of a sudden, there is a outburst. Of the Holy Ghost sweeps through the place and it shoves on his physical man and he's standing there and the wind is just pushing in on him and the glory of God and he's not ashamed. Now, I know this because I get so tired of hearing this one. Pastor, I heard you when you was preaching, I just felt like I ought to take off running. Well, why in the world didn't you do it? You're resisting the Holy Ghost. Did the voice of the Spirit of God ever tell you Beth, feel him take your hand and say, would you dance with me?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes,
Hallelujah! He comes upon you with a blast. My Lord and my God. He lights upon you, and it's so hard sometimes. You don't go down because you know you can hold yourself. If it's God, you're going down. Amen. You're in the service, and the voice of the Holy Spirit hits you. You're worshiping Him, worshiper, and out of nowhere, the power of God comes upon you, and the glory of God is so heavy on you that no man has to touch you, and you just fall down upon the ground and you lay prostrate before the Lord, and you didn't have nothing to do with it. And when you get up, you can't explain it, but when you were down there, you loved it. Hallelujah. Once in a while, well, no, wait a minute. I'm going to save you for something else. Hallelujah. Who am I going to do this with? Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, this might help you. You're worshiping God, and the outburst comes. Somebody say, I feel it. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and disrupt, disturb, be abnormal, tear us apart. To the day we can't explain it. And the voice of the Holy Spirit comes upon people. And I want you to do it. And the Holy Spirit says, Joe, come up here, right there. Joe, and the lift up your hands and worship Him. And the voice of the Holy Spirit says, Oh God, I can't stand still. And something, you feel something in your ankle bones. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like just getting up in church someday and just running around the church? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, I know you have. You're one that said the Holy, I felt like running, Pastor. I said, run. He said, what would you do? I said, I'll get right behind you. Holy Ghost comes upon you. And all of a sudden, you don't know why and you don't know where you're going, but you begin to run in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! My Lord and my God. Sometimes, you hear you worshiping. And that outburst of spirit. You know what? It's a soft, gentle wind all of a sudden. And the Spirit of God comes. And there is, He wraps Himself around you. And you feel Him. And you're saying, oh my God, what is this? Something's about to happen. And all of a sudden, you can't wait for anybody to invite you. You got to run to the altar. You got to get there. Hallelujah. Get out of my way. When God wants me there, you better move. Oh, I'm having fun. I like disorder. I heard that. What's left? Anybody tell me real quick? What's left? Anything? Did I leave out anything? Huh? I guess you left out.
I'm never left out.
Well, maybe, I'm sorry, God's out of ideas. There's no more manifestations. You've done them all. All you got to do now is let what's happening in this church and every church in this land. They've stepped in the water. I'm going a little overtime. I'm sorry. But they stepped in the water of Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of God. It's harvest time. And there was a flood. And they stepped in that water. And something out of, as they went through, God cut a furrow right through the middle of that water. Listen. Sometimes God puts sometimes God makes a way for you. Come here. Come on, both of you. Sometimes God makes a way for you. I'm going to put you on the other end of this, I hope you don't mind. And he puts you in the middle of the river. Glory to God. In the river of life. I mean, you're swimming in it. You're up your ankles and you're up your knees. It's over your head. And he cuts a way for you in the bed of that river. And floodwaters are everywhere. And he gets you through that. And you go marching through that furrow. You know there's a current that goes, you know this, there's a current that runs through a river. And when it floods over, it's down heavy on that thing, and it keeps digging that ditch a little lower, a little lower, a little lower. And then when the flood comes in, it's not quite as big as a flood was, because it's going deeper and it's going deeper. You can go. Thank you very much. You can go. You're going through it. Yeah, keep on following that current. You can go. You can go. Just keep on following. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Holy God, thank you. You can go, honey. You can go. You can go. And now you. Now, we've went through that thing so long. We like this, don't we? We went through that river. God made a way for me. Hallelujah. Oh, I know one I forgot. I know one I forgot. Hold up a shiny. How am I going to do this? Susie, stand up. Lift up both hands. You've been around. You've seen this. The Holy Ghost comes on you. And it's a wind. And you're praising God. Hands are in the air. And all of a sudden, oh, you can't control it. Something is moving you. And you're shaking all over. Here's what happens. I'm done. Here's what happens. We get through this so many times that we make that ditch deeper. And every time it rains, we've went through it so many times, we know it's there. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. And every time it comes and the flood goes in it, and now the flood's not like it used to be, but the ditch is still there. But it never moves anymore to the point where you can see it because it's too deep. Guess what we did? We took that which is normal and made that which is abnormal and made it normal. Let me say that to you again. We took that which is normal and made our experience. We're so used to it, aren't we? I know when to shake and run and bob and dip. And pretty soon, we lose that disturbance of the Holy Ghost. Pretty soon, we begin to label it. And pretty soon, we just sit around waiting for somebody else to do something. I don't know how many times the Holy Ghost has spoken in this church and said, I want you to dance. How many's heard it? Let me give you the author. Stand up, Jenny. She's cried with her heart up front, back here, around here. The Spirit of God is saying, dance before me. If the Spirit of God speaks, we need to do something. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Let's all stand real quick. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Jesus himself, Zephaniah 3, 19. Jesus is jumping and leaping and skipping all over the church. Jesus is joyful this moment right now. He is just skipping and running and jumping and dancing. And the voice of the Spirit cries, will you dance with me? Will you skip with me? Will you twirl with me? Will you run with me? Will you shake with me under my power? Will you let me have you completely? Will you humble yourself before me? Will you let me put you on your face and change your life under the power of my glory? Oh, hallelujah. What is the shaking about? I tell you what's about. Them shakes come sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes the shaking just comes sometimes. And you come in this church and I'm going to get real pastoral. You come in here with an attitude. If you come here with an attitude, you're not going to let the Spirit of God move on you. Well, I guess I'm leaving. If you have an attitude, it disrupts the disruptor. How many still love me? Thank you very much. And then when you surrender, let's lift up your hands. Power of the Holy Ghost, come on us right now. Power of the Holy Ghost, come on me right now. Oh, my Lord and my God. Shake me from the top of my head. All of a sudden, you don't even ask for it. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself and you've done this. Your hands begin to tremble and to shake. And you've come into church and you're upset about this. And you're hurting about that. And you're sick and you're lonely. And you don't know what's on your side or who's behind you. And the world around you falling apart. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gets on you and you're just shaking. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're shaking loose the bondages. The Holy Ghost is on you, and he's shaking loose the chains that have you bound. He's tearing loose the hold. He's setting you free. He's setting you free. Oh, hallelujah. I am a whole new man in Christ. devil. In the name of Jesus, I am free. Oh, no. In the name of Jesus, I have shaken this sickness off me. I'm free. The chain is gone. The depression is gone. The oppression is gone. The possession is gone. I'm free. I'm free to be abnormal. I'm free to be abnormal. Oh God, we hunger so much. Forgive us. Forgive us for letting things just want to steal our joy. Forgive us for giving up on you. Visit us, Holy Spirit. And once you visit, stay with us. In Jesus' name. Let this word be a revolutionary word. Let it change us. Let us change us. Let us hear the voice of the Spirit and obey. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say, give the Lord. Hallelujah. There shouldn't be one sick person in the house. There shouldn't be one depressed person in. Are you hearing me? There shouldn't be any depressed people in the house. Everybody should have their smile back on their face. The enemy's not anybody around here. It was the devil in the first place. He causes all the problems. He gets you to believe something, and that messes your life up. Aren't you glad you're free? In Jesus' name. Amen. Go home. Hallelujah. Go where you want to go. Hallelujah. Oh, I love my Sunday. Glory to God.
On behalf of the Voice for Christ family, thank you for your purchasing of these materials. If you have any questions, you may contact us by mail at 1024 South Old State Road 3, P.O. Box 394, Rushville, Indiana, 46173.